This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Stay tuned for our bulletin of church news, which will be followed by Panorama, and then our features, Echo of the African Synod and the Millennium Appointment. I am John Baptist Tumusiime. Pope Francis has told participants at the first International Summit on Children's Rights that lives of millions of children are today affected by poverty, war, lack of schooling, injustice, and exploitation. He reiterated his condemnation of abortion, noting that nothing is worth more than the life of a child. The summit opened on Monday here in the Vatican, guided by the theme, Love Them and Protect Them. The participants include non-government organizations that advocate for children's rights and those that cater for disadvantaged children, human rights organizations, as well as representatives of humanitarian agencies. Lisa Zengarini has the details.
Dobbiamo renderci conto che i bambini piccoli con i loro sguardi e i loro silenzi ci parlano.
Addressing the world leaders convened in the Vatican for the first International Summit on Children's Rights, Pope Francis reiterated his impassioned plea for protecting children victims of conflict, poverty, migration, and of a throwaway culture, insisting on the urgent need to listen to them. In his speech, the Pope drew attention to the particularly dire conditions of millions of children in war-torn and impoverished regions, but also stressed that even in wealthier societies, children face vulnerabilities such as mental health struggles, violence, and social marginalization. One of the most alarming issues Pope Francis addressed was the devastating impact of war on children, which he said is unacceptable. He also denounced what he termed the pathological individualism visible in developed nations, where children often face abuse, neglect, or even infanticide by those meant to protect them.
Non è accettabile.
He again decried the loss of young migrant lives, as countless children die on dangerous journeys driven by desperation, and also the persistence of child slavery, forced labor, trafficking, and forced marriages. A particularly forceful part of the speech was his condemnation of abortion, fueled by a throwaway culture, which the Pope emphasized cuts off the source of hope for the entire society. Concluding, Pope Francis expressed his hope that the summit will contribute to building a better world for children, reaffirming the moral duty to place their rights at the center of global concerns. I am Lisa Zengarini.
Earlier on Monday morning, Pope Francis had received children from different parts of the world who had come to Rome to take part in the International Summit on Children's Rights. Pope Francis also received on Monday a delegation of Scandinavian pilgrims who were visiting the Vatican for the Jubilee year organized by the Nordic Catholic Bishops' Conference. In his address, he appealed to them to be witnesses of reconciliation and peace, especially now when our planet is wounded by the ongoing conflicts and wars. Francesca Mello reports.
Addressing pilgrims from Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Finland, and Iceland on Monday, Pope Francis reflected on their Jubilee pilgrimage as an opportunity to grow in faith, hope, and love. He also urged a united witness of reconciliation and peace amidst ongoing wars. Referring to the Jubilee's theme, Pilgrims of Hope, the Pope encouraged the pilgrims to deepen their faith by visiting the tombs of Saints Peter and Paul.
In particolare le tombe dei Santi Apostoli Pietro e Paolo.
May your awareness of belonging to Christ and to each other be nourished and deepened, he said. Quoting Saint Paul, he reminded them that they are created in Christ to do good works. He emphasized that sharing the gospel, particularly with those on the margins, is the greatest work of all. The Pope encouraged continued evangelization, stressing that their mission does not end with their return home. He urged Catholic communities in Scandinavia to collaborate with other Christian denominations and engage in interreligious dialogue, particularly in welcoming migrants.
Migranti, che avete accolto così bene.
In these difficult times, our human family needs a united testimony to reconciliation and peace, he said. Addressing young people, Pope Francis highlighted the upcoming canonization of Blessed Carlo Acutis.
Il 27 aprile celebreremo la canonizzazione del Beato Carlo Acutis. Conoscete?
Do you know him? He asked, receiving an applause. Calling him a saint of our times, he urged young people to embrace their role in the Church. We need you, he said.
Ne abbiamo bisogno.
I'm Francesca Merlo.
A retreat center named after Saint Aloysius Gonzaga was recently opened in the Kenyan Catholic Archdiocese of Kisumu on a 3-acre piece of land donated to the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits, by family members of the late Mr. and Mrs. Aloysius Afulo. The family also provided $85,000 towards the building of the first phase of the retreat center. The retreat center is meant to bring spiritual exercises closer to more people, especially the poor who cannot afford to travel long distances in search of retreat houses. The Archbishop of Abidjan in Ivory Coast, Cardinal Ignace Dogbo, has called upon Catholic communicators to understand that their vocation is a mission not only to tell the truth, but also to give hope to the people. Cardinal Dogbo made the call on Saturday during Holy Mass for Catholic communicators of his archdiocese, who celebrated their communications jubilee on that day. Emphasizing the importance of communicators in evangelization, the Cardinal said without communicators, the gospel of Jesus Christ would remain a dead letter. He noted that the world today is saturated by bad news, crisis, and tensions. But a Catholic communicator has a duty to communicate messages of hope that uplift, inspire, and unite. You are tuned to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
African News Panorama.
Gunmen suspected of belonging to the Al-Qaeda-linked Al-Shabaab group abducted 5 government officials in northeast Kenya on Monday as they were on their way to work. Local leaders were quoted as saying, "The incident happened in Mandera County when the 5 village chiefs, government-appointed local officials, were heading to the town of Elwak," Kenya Citizens TV reported, quoting the regional commissioner for northeast, John Otieno. The same incident was reported by the Nation newspaper, quoting the police commander of Mandera South. Both men blamed Al-Shabaab for the abduction. A police spokesman confirmed the incident and said the suspects were being pursued but did not specify who authorities believed were responsible. Al-Shabaab has been fighting for years in Somalia to topple the central government and establish its own rule based on its strict interpretation of Islamic Sharia law. It has also carried out attacks in neighboring Kenya as part of efforts to press Kenya to withdraw troops from Somalia, where they are part of an international peacekeeping force defending the central government. Opposition leaders in Uganda on Monday demanded the release of their colleague Kizza Besigye, whose military trial faces a legal challenge after the top court ruled that civilians cannot be court-martialed. Mr. Besigye, a 4-time presidential candidate in the East African nation, has been in jail since his repatriation from Kenya, where he went missing on the 16th of November. Days later, Mr. Besigye and an assistant appeared before a military tribunal in Kampala to face charges related to illegal possession of a firearm and threatening national security. The 68-year-old has since been charged with the more serious offense of treachery, which carries the death penalty. Uganda's Supreme Court ruled last week that civilians cannot be court-martialed, questioning the competence of untrained military officers to dispense justice. Opposition lawmaker Ibrahim Semuju Nganda said Mr. Besigye is in Luzira now illegally, referring to the maximum security prison near Kampala. The mayor of Kampala, Erias Lukwago, an opposition figure who is a close associate of Mr. Besigye, said Ugandans are duty-bound to enforce the court's decision. Senior Africa researcher at Human Rights Watch, Oriem Nyeko, said the Supreme Court's decision is a major step to protect the right to a fair trial in Uganda. The rights group Amnesty International also called for Mr. Besigye's release. You're tuned to the Africa Service of Vatican Radio.
The African Synod, the Church Alive in Africa Today.
Hello and welcome to the program. I am Festus Tarawali. This week's edition takes us to Nigeria, where the Catholic Archbishop of Abuja has called for collaboration between the government and the Catholic Church in caring for the poor and the less privileged. Africa's most populous nation is currently grappling with a cost of living crisis that has seen inflation accelerate to its highest level in nearly three decades. A joint report by the government and United Nations in November said Nigeria faces one of its worst hunger crises, with more than 30 million people expected to be food insecure this year. President Bola Tinubu's economic reforms, including scrapping of fuel subsidy and foreign exchange controls, have been blamed for worsening the country's economic troubles. The president says the reforms will put the economy on a stronger path to growth. Delphine Asu in Abuja has this report on the call by Archbishop Ignatius Kaigama, courtesy of Catholic Television of Nigeria.
The Catholic Archbishop of Abuja, Most Reverend Ignatius Kaigama, has drawn attention to the teachings of the Church on the care of the poor and called for collaboration between church and state. This was contained in his homily at Holy Trinity Catholic Church, Maitama, Abuja.
The Church has always asked for this collaboration. The Church has always been a place of refuge and support, and we need to work with the concerned government agencies to address the underlying issues that led to this sad event. It is on record that countries such as Germany, the US, the UK, Ireland, and others empower the Catholic Church and other faith-based organizations to provide for the poor. It is true. I have been to all these countries, and I know that their governments give money to the Catholic Church and other faith-based organizations so that they can help the poor. They provide for the poor where the government cannot go. Bishop Meyer of Augsburg, am I telling the truth? I think Germany provides a lot. Germany, please clap for Germany. We get a lot of support. Before, since 1960, they have been helping us. Their government gives them some money. They also collect money from the poor in their country and put together, and they decide to help others elsewhere. They have done a lot for our archdiocese. When Abuja was not as it is now, his own diocese of Augsburg helped us. All these, some of the buildings you see here, we got help from Germany, and specifically from the Diocese of Augsburg. So, why should our government not help us? Why? Why should our government not collaborate with us? We are not asking for contracts. We are not asking for money for ourselves. We are asking for money to be used to help the poor. And when we help the poor in your name, it is your government that is helping the poor. But why are you afraid that when you give us the money, it may not be to your credit? Actually, before we say anything, we announce to the people that what we are giving you is from the government. But when shall we begin enjoying this support from the government? FCT Minister, I'm talking and looking directly at you. there, please convey this message. We can collaborate. During the COVID, you said you distributed billions and billions naira worth of items. I am the leader of the Catholic Church in Abuja, and I represent that big constituency. But I didn't see anything. Where is the collaboration?
He charged the authorities to use all of the nation's resources for the good of the people.
Let us talk together. We can tell you actually where the poor are. Every Sunday and weekdays too, I go out to the interior and I see where the poor are. You always travel from here to the airport and you only see the beautiful buildings and the highways and so on. I go beyond. I see what you don't see. Come and ask me, what do you see when you go out? But since I have been here for 5 years, no government official has asked me. Your Grace, you have been visiting every nook and cranny of this FCT. What have you seen? Nobody. So how will you know what the poor are suffering? So we are asking for collaboration. That is the thing I'm saying. Collaboration with government. We can work together. We can work together. Our government must do all that is possible so that no one dies of hunger or other artificial causes. Nigeria must learn to use available resources without corruption to save the lives of citizens, even if it is one person. When one person goes missing in America, they will deploy all that is possible to recover that person. But here you find hundreds missing and we just say, "Aiya," or we constitute a committee that sits for 2 or 3 weeks and that is the end. Please, we must do something for our poor citizens. Those who are rich can afford water, electricity, and medical care, and so on, but the poor cannot.
The chief shepherd of Abuja Archdiocese then commended the New Year message of Mr. President, His Excellency Bola Ahmed Tinubu, and appealed that the president will be committed to his words.
We started the New Year with a very heartwarming broadcast by President Tinubu, the only broadcast that I enjoyed since he became president, because it was quite positive. He says he was wishing every Nigerian a happy and prosperous New Year. That is coming directly from Mr. President. He was praying also that the year will bring joy, success, and good health. He said, although 2024 posed numerous challenges to our citizens and households, in 2025, his government is committed to intensifying efforts to boost food production. And he continued that inflation will be reduced from its current high of 34.6% to 15%. That is coming from our president. Is that not positive? It's positive. Let's pray and hope that this is translated into concrete reality. It's not just about the speech, but about how it is translated concretely into practice. So I am praying. One of my prayer intentions for this year is that may the president be committed to doing what he said he will do during the New Year broadcast. That is my prayer. And please join me in this prayer that this will happen, and it must happen.
Archbishop Ignatius Kaigama, our thanks there to Delphine Asu in Abuja. And that's all for this edition. Until the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
And now, our feature, Millennium Appointment. The Second Vatican Council teaches that every baptized person has a role to play in the work of evangelization. This has its basis in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 19 to 20, in which Jesus commissions the apostles to go and make disciples of all nations. This shared responsibility starts from the individual faithful and extends to the parish, to the diocese, and between dioceses. Catholic dioceses participate in this in many ways, including in sharing priests with those that experience a cast of vocations to the priesthood, and by sharing other resources, such as know-how and funds, that may be needed in the mission of evangelization. Last week, we reported the visit of Bishop Sean Magnet of the Diocese of Jefferson City in the United States of America to Kampala Catholic Archdiocese in Uganda. The two dioceses have established a sister relationship which enhances cooperation in the mission of evangelization. The Diocese of Jefferson, like many American Catholic dioceses, is experiencing a scarcity of vocations to the priesthood. Kampala Archdiocese, which has many priests, sends some of its priests to Jefferson to serve in parishes. The Diocese of Jefferson has substantial financial resources. It sends some to Kampala Archdiocese to fund projects such as parish and school construction and maintenance. Before concluding his tour last Thursday, Bishop Magnet visited a school located in Sentema Sub-Parish in Nadangira Catholic Parish. The school was built and is maintained by his diocese. He spoke to reporters.
I have a long connection with Uganda and especially the Archdiocese of Kampala. And now as the Bishop of Jefferson City, we have formed something of a sister relationship where here in Sentema, we have been over many years have supported the mission of this local sub-parish, and it's wonderful to see the development of the sub-parish here and the school and the people in the chapel, and I look for many more blessings in the future.
Bishop Magnet held a meeting with the Archbishop of Kampala, His Grace Posse Mogerere, which he described as brotherly. He explained to reporters why his diocese developed a sister relationship with the Kampala Archdiocese.
Because of our existing relationship with the Archdiocese of Kampala, you have five priests serving in my diocese and one more coming in a few months. So from my perspective, when we take up a collection for the missions, I believe firmly in the necessity of building relationships with use of those funds. And so I'm very happy to, on behalf of the people of the Diocese of Jefferson City, to develop this relationship further in the concrete. In addition to some funds that we have donated over the years for the various projects, we have also sponsored trips. Last March, there was a group of our college-age youth that came to visit the Archdiocese, and actually we're here in Sentema. And then in this July coming up, some of the teachers in our Catholic school system will be coming to further develop the relationship between our two dioceses.
Bishop Magnet expressed gratitude to the faithful of Kampala Archdiocese, whom he said welcomed him and his delegation like family. He also expressed gratitude to the administration of Kampala Archdiocese for using correctly the funds sent by his diocese, especially for projects that aid evangelization.
It's very evident in the transformation of the plant here at Sentema. The school itself has grown. It's been improved. There's been renovated facilities and also new facilities. And it's evident to me that with all of that investment, there has been a great fruit that has been born from that. And the growing size of the sub-parish here portends a lot of beautiful and wonderful blessings in the future.
Comparing the faith in his diocese and the Kampala Archdiocese, the Bishop of Jefferson City thanked God for the faith he saw in Kampala Archdiocese. He explained that the Catholic Church is one and universal, and that dioceses are related, and that is why they cooperate.
Above and beyond that, there is the very common element of our mission and the necessity for each of us to make a sacrifice for that mission of our church. That's what we all share together. I feel very much at home here because of the faith of the people here. And it's a great blessing for me, after traveling so many thousands of miles, to still feel at home because of the vibrancy of the church and the faith here.
As he was concluding his visit to Kampala to begin another one in the Archdiocese of Kigali, neighboring Rwanda, Bishop Magnet had the following message for youth in Uganda.
My message to the youth here in Uganda is, be not afraid. Open yourselves up to whatever the Holy Spirit might be calling you to in your life, even if, especially if it might seem impossible for you at the moment. Let the Holy Spirit lead you, and be not afraid to respond with a willingness to make sacrifice yourself and to expand your own hearts to be generous in spirit, to live for others and not just for yourself. And that's really what brings the most happy sentiments and contentment that one can have in one's life.
Bishop Macnitt concluded his visit with the celebration of Holy Mass at Christ the King Parish in Kampala City. In his homily, he expressed gratitude to the faithful of Kampala Archdiocese for their generosity to dioceses like his that experience a scarcity of vocations to the priesthood and to religious life.
You're an inspiration to us, and in fact, you are missionaries to us with the priests that you send. So I am so grateful for the gift of the priests that you have given us. And so with that spirit of gratitude, I'm very grateful now to impart my blessing upon you. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord look upon you and fill you with his graces, especially the graces of the Holy Spirit.
Bishop Sean Macnitt of the Archdiocese of Jefferson City in the United States of America. He was speaking last week at the conclusion of his visit to Kampala Archdiocese in Uganda. And that was Millennium Appointment for this week. You have been listening to the English Africa Service of Vatican Radio, and I am John Baptist Tomosime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our feature, Justice and Peace. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus. Glory and praise.